Assalamu alaikum.
We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there's no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. The wisdom of Allah, the most wise, Al-Hakim subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives. When he gives with the wisdom. When he restrains with the wisdom. Everything he does has a magnificent wisdom behind. Our wisdom can never reach to the level of understanding, full understanding of the wisdom of Allah. The wisdom of Allah, we try to understand and we do our best to understand. If we don't understand, we trust His wisdom. Because His wisdom is superior to us and we will never be able to understand it. If we can reach to the level of understanding of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not superior to our wisdom. Or it is within our reach. And this is impossible. If we put all our brains together, if we are collectively gather our brains together in one big unit, working together, communicating together, to understand the wisdom of Allah, we will never be able to reach to that level and understand it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes explains His wisdom explicitly, and sometimes for another wisdom he leaves it up to us to figure out, and sometimes He doesn't explain it at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He explains His wisdom in most of the issues that are usually very important to us, and we tend to kind of accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you doing this, why are you doing that? Even if we don't do it explicitly, our hearts might not feel comfortable, or might not be happy, even though we're submissive to it, but we might have something in our heart that is upset about it. So He does explain His wisdom, such as the wisdom, why is He limiting the wealth, why is He making two people poor and rich, and all of that. The second thing, that's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained His wisdom clearly in, and the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accused with. And then the second thing would be, is the issue of halal and haram. When He subhanahu wa ta'ala delegated some little bit of His authority to the people and gave them freedom of a choice, and He left them to make decisions and conduct business. And then in order to guide them and help them to do the good representation on earth, He sent them rules, do's and don't, do's and don'ts, all over the place. And we always say, what is the wisdom behind this do? Why do we have to do this? Why can't we do that? Why do we have to do this? Why can't we do that? We always, ask ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes and tells us, first of all, that whatever is halal for the ummah of Prophet Muhammad in particular, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever is halal, whatever is good for us, He made halal. Whatever is bad for us, He made haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, وَأَحَلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And this is the first, the foundation that we have to build the rest of the understanding on. Anything good is halal, anything bad is haram.
Ali, what's the name that you're talking about?
The wisdom of Allah under the name of the Most Wise, Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir. And by the way, Allah barik fi. And by the way, anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something about Al-Halal and Al-Haram, you will find either in the same ayah or in the same block or in the same paragraph topic a mention of His wisdom. That is, He knows and you don't know. He is Al-Hakim Al-Khabir. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is Khabir, which is also expert. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala the expert, the most expert. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's talking about. And He, if it's good for you, He would have, He doesn't, what He wants, as He said, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَجًا فِي الدِّينِ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ أَن يُطَهِرَكُمْ. ولكن he doesn't want you to make he doesn't want to make you miserable. No, that's not what he wants. He wants to purify you. He wants to clean you up from evil. He wants to purify you from dirt, from evil. He doesn't want to make you miserable and restrain you and choke you like that. No, that's not what he wants. He wants to clean you up. ولكن يريد أن يطهركم. So it is for your best interest. It is not something that he wants to, you know, make you unhappy or restrictive. Now, on the other hand, he said that this is a gift for you, special for Prophet Muhammad. Because the Bani Israel, which were the ummah that were in charge of the representation of earth before the ummah of Prophet Muhammad, Allah said in the Quran that he made a lot of good things haram on them to make them miserable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that he has picked a good thing from everything and he made it haram on them, just to make them miserable, to punish them for what they have done. And then when he sent Prophet Isa, one of his missions, when he talked to Bani Israel, one of the things he said, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and to relieve you from the things that Allah has made haram on you, I want to make them halal. Allah sent me to make them halal because he decided to relieve you from this. And yet they gave him a hard time and they didn't believe into him. So unlike them, and I'll give you an example. When they worshipped the cave after they crossed the Red Sea, Allah subhanahu, they repented. You know, after Prophet Musa came and he got angry and he dropped the boards that has the Torah written and inscribed on them. And they broke, and he grabbed his brother, أخذ بلحية أخيه يجروه إليه, he grabbed his brother from his beard like that. What did you do with the children of Israel after I've left? You know, قال يا ابن أم لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي, don't pull my beard, don't pull my hair. He was really pulling them and dragging him all over the place. What happened? I leave 40 days to worship Allah, I come back, and you guys are worshipping the cave, you know, what happened? Then when they repented, and when he punished the Samurai and everything, guess what was what they have to do in order for Allah to accept the repentance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated on them that the people who did not worship the cave, kill the people who worship the cave. Even if it's your wife, even if it is your husband, even if it is your child, even if it is your father, he worshipped the cave, kill him. And that was the only way the repentance is acceptable. You know, a very difficult scenario. Saturday, all day, no work. No work, period. Even if you intend to trick, to play games, to earn anything on Saturday, it becomes a curse on you. Like they did the trick of the whales. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانِهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look what he did to them. He will bring the fish to them nearby, so that he will bring the fish to them on Saturday nearby the ocean. So that it is very tempting. Hey, the fish is right there. We don't have to go far. All we have to do is just, you know, grab them, and we're done. For the whole month, we don't have to work. There's plenty of fish. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. When it's not Saturday, the fish goes all the way deep in the water. So they, very tempting situation. And what they did, we know the trick. They said, we're not going to work on Saturday. Okay, we're not going to catch, technically speaking, we're not going to catch the fish on Saturday. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up the nets on Friday. Okay? And then the fish are going to come on Saturday. So what we will do, we will just drag the net around and close the way back to the fish. Okay? We're not going to catch the fish on Saturday. We'll just close the net. All right? And then wait until Sunday. Then, of course, the fish can't go back. The net is set up. It's closed. The way back is not possible. Then they catch the fish on Sunday. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. كَمَا لَعَنَّا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوْنَا لَعَنُهُمْ كَمَا لَعَنَّا أَصْحَابَ السَّبْتِ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, one third of Surah Al-Baqarah are stories about the children of Israel and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you read it, you would really say, Allah's so kind that He only punished them this little punishment, not more than that. And the, many people really feel that way and come and ask and say, well, why didn't Allah destroy the children of Israel? They did a lot of bad things. They did worse than the people of Ad, did worse than that. And indeed, Allah destroyed the bad ones among them, but He kept the good ones. Because there were good and bad. The bad ones Allah destroyed several times. After worshipping the cave, all of them were killed. But the good ones remained, because it's not fair. When they asked Allah to, when they asked the Prophet Musa and gave him a hard time, show us Allah, and then they reached to the level, أرنا الله جهرا وإذ قلتم يا موسى لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرا فأخذتكم الصاعقة وأنتم تنظرون. And when you told the Prophet Musa, show us Allah explicitly, eye to eye, so Allah hit them with a thunder strike. When they were just looking and saying this, Allah hit them with a thunder strike. So the bad ones were destroyed, but the good ones were retained. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made on them the good things haram. But the Muslim ummah is relieved from that. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray to Him at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. That you, Allah, don't punish us and restrain us because of what we have done, the way you have done it to the people before us, that you restrained them to choke them as a punishment for them for what they have done. The halal and haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this universe in such a way that the most of the things in the universe is running inside under His full control. And His full control, you can call it the laws of nature. You can call the laws of nature the full control of Allah. That there's no way anybody can break away from the laws of nature, and there's no way anybody can violate the laws of nature. Within these laws of nature, which is the full control of Allah, He left a gap under, outside of His control, and this gap, He ruled it with a different kind of laws called the laws of Islam, or the laws of Sharia. So we have the laws of nature, are the main governing control laws that cannot be broken. Nobody ever, it doesn't matter who is he, can break these laws of nature. It doesn't matter how much he or she will try. And we know that. And if you remember quickly the story in Surah Al-Baqarah of the king that was debating in Namrud, that was debating with the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the guy after Prophet Ibrahim came out of the fire and he started, you know, interviewing him and talking to him. Who's your God, Ibrahim? So Ibrahim gave him something. You know, who's your God, Ibrahim? This is not a question to answer in one sentence or in 1 minute. But it is amazing that every prophet, when he was asked, who is your God? Look in Surah Taha and look at the answer. قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. And then look in Surah Al-Baqarah and see how the answer. قَالَ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ. So in the Surah Taha, he said that it is He the one who created everything and then guided that creation to live the life the way it's supposed to, to play the role, the right role that is beneficial in this existence. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, he also said, the Prophet Ibrahim said the same thing about creation. Prophet Ibrahim said, الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ. He's the one who gives life and He gives death. So, of course, the kings, as we know, you know, I don't mean to be impolite, But really the kings, most of them, are not very intelligent. You can say they are stupid. So the stupid king said, أَلَا نُوحِي وَأُمِيتْ. He said, I give life and death. And you can see how stupid and dumb he is from that statement. قَالَ أَنَا أُحِي وَأُمِيتْ. I give life and I give death. So Prophet Ibrahim said to himself, I think he said to himself, and since you're a stupid king, let me change this definition to another definition. So he said, okay, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Allah brings the sun from the east. Why don't you bring it from the west? You know, because what the king did, he said, I'll show you how do I give life and death. He brought a guy from jail and he was sentenced to death and he was miserable. And he said, he is almost dead, right? He's dead. I'll give him life. And he gave him money and wealth and a lot of good things to enjoy his life. And then he brought a guy who living the same life, the same luxury life. And then he brought him and then he killed him. And he said, I gave him death. So I spared one, I gave life and death. So he said, okay, fine. All right, let's... Allah brings the sun from the east. Why don't you bring it from the west? Why did Prophet Ibrahim pick this one? Because it is the laws of nature that is outside of the control of any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something wonderful. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that within these laws of nature, there is a gap which is the law governed and ruled by the laws of Islam and the laws of Sharia. But because Allah is the one who created everything, He made it in such a way that the laws of Islam and the laws of nature, they fit together like this. Exactly like this. When you connect them together, this is the way they connect. Perfectly together. So they create a peaceful life. A life similar to the life that would have been if Allah is ruling the earth Himself. And not giving any free will to anybody to make any decision. Nobody, if he takes away the free will of everybody and ruling the earth himself, it will fit together and make a very beautiful fit and match. If we break these laws of nature, then we run into a conflict. I'm sorry, if we break these laws of Sharia, we run into a conflict with the laws of nature. And we cause problems. And we try to fix it from here, you can see it nowadays. They try to fix it from here, it blows up from there. They try to batch it from there, it blows up from here. They try to fix it, you can see. Humans try to fix. There's no way you fix. The only way to have this life, the life, is to apply the laws of Sharia so that you can have, they are very compatible and harmonious together. Breaking the laws of Sharia, I'll give you an example of how breaking the laws of Sharia will harm your physical existence. Drinking alcohol, for example. The laws of nature say that, and there's no way you can change that. Drinking alcohol will harm your body. Drinking alcohol will cause social problems. Drunk driving, you know, the people who die from drunk driving is every year is more than the people who died in Vietnam War. People abusing their children when they are drunk. And a lot of problems. These are the laws of nature. Can we stop it? No. Can we put police to guard? Good luck. Stop the drunk driving. Good luck. There's no way. People, the statistics say that in the traffic school, the statistics say that a lot of people uncaught driving when they are drunk. Okay. Can you stop it? No. Can you stop the abuse? Good luck. Go to see the statistics. No. Can you stop the harms on the body? No. Can you stop the financial cost and burden on the society that drinking exacts from the society? No. These are laws of nature. You can't stop it. You can't touch it. You can't change it. Then what to do? What's the solution? Stop. You prohibit drinking. Allah made it haram. I mean, He didn't make it haram to make you miserable and to prevent you from getting high. He made it haram because it is a lot of problems. You violate the laws of Islam, you run into problems with the laws of nature. Another example, no justice, no peace. That's a law of nature. Peace can only be achieved with justice. No justice, no peace. You violate justice, you will be showered with all kinds of problems. You name it. You violate justice, you have to stand in humiliating search lines in the airports. Before, when we were more fair, we didn't have to do that. You violate the laws of justice, you will be hated. And a lot of people will go after you and love to ruin you and destroy you. You violate the laws of justice, peace will go away. No justice, no peace. That's a law of nature. There's no way around it. But if we choose to follow Allah, to apply the laws of Sharia, within this gap, which is the gap that Allah has left up to us to choose to apply the laws of Sharia or the laws of Islam or not, we will live a happy life. We will live a happy life here in this life and in the hereafter. They both fit together. Very beautiful fit. Very beautiful fit. And this is why Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is making them, the list of do's and don'ts. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making this list. So that we can have a happy, rich, comfortable, fulfilling, peaceful life with happiness and no misery. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.
And they said, why are you going to create a human being? We're going to shed the...